Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. What is it that gives you the greatest joy in your life? In 3 John, the Apostle John declares, quote, "It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." One of the clearest evidences that you are maturing as a disciple of Jesus Christ is that it gives you joy as you walk with Jesus and obey him more and more, and as others obey him and please him more and more. Let's open our Bible now that we might learn to have a genuine joy from seeing others walk with Jesus.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's a early Friday morning here in Texas, and it's just a good time to be in our Bible, a good time to be spending time with Jesus, growing to know him, growing to love him, growing to obey him, and above all, growing to please him in every aspect of our lives. So thank you, Lord Jesus. What would you look like if your physical appearance matched your soul? In 3 John, John says to Gaius, he says, verse 2, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." So again, if you were forced to have your physical appearance match your spiritual appearance, would you look vibrant? Would you look full? Would you look joyful? Would you look powerful? Or would you look gaunt? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. Father, we thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for our Bible. We thank you that we have the living word of God to nourish our soul. But Father, above all, we thank you for Jesus, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on our behalf that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen today. And we worship you today, our risen Savior. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. We ask you to give us eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So go to the end of your Bible, the third to the last book, 3 John. There's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and then Revelation. It's a one chapter book, but it's a full, incredible book. So 3 John chapter 1, there is only one chapter, but 3 John 1, and I'll start reading in verse 1. "The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth." Verse 2, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. Verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, we'll stop there. I mean, that verse, look at verse 4. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Nothing gives him more joy than to know and hear about his brothers and sisters in Christ walking with Jesus. What gives you your greatest joy? What gives you the most happiness in your life? John's greatest joy isn't even about himself. It's not about his own life. I mean, this is a profound statement that he gets joy. He gets no greater joy from anything than to see that others are growing in Christ. Others are walking with Christ. Others are growing to know Jesus and to love him and to obey him and to please him. And I mean, that is such an example to us. Every one of us ought to look at that and just humble ourselves and, you know, just pray, Father, I do ask you to help us. Help me, Father, to find greater and greater joy in other people walking with Jesus and loving Jesus and obeying Jesus and growing to know Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right, verse 1, the elder. To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. You notice that John says that his love for Gaius is in the truth. There is no real, authentic love that's outside of truth. If it's not in the truth, and the truth is in Jesus and only Jesus, then it's not real love. So there's another place for you to examine your life, examine your heart, examine your love. You know, do you love people? Do you love your spouse? Do you love your children? Do you love your family? Do you love your friends? Do you love Jesus in the truth? Is your love sincere? Is it honest? To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. The truth is the single most powerful force in the entire universe. There is nothing more powerful than truth. Wherever you are in your truth walk today, take a moment and examine yourself and repent over any areas of your life where you see that you're not walking in the truth, where you're not speaking the truth, where you don't care about the truth, where you're not sincere, where you're not authentic, where you're not genuine. Jesus cannot and will not move in our lives in areas where we are not walking in the truth. He cannot do it. Jesus will not move if we're fake. He won't move if we're insincere. He won't move if we're pretentious. The single most important thing in our lives is to be real, to be honest, to be truthful with him, and then to be truthful with one another. And so again, obviously all of us have room to grow in this, but examine your heart and earnestly repent over areas that the Holy Spirit shows you where you're not walking in the truth, where you're not loving others in the truth. Wow, thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at verse 2. When you pray for others, are you praying, you know, do you pray only for other people? Do you pray for their physical circumstances? How much are you praying for their soul? Look what John says in verse 2. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Our prayers for ourselves and for others ought to be more about our growth in Christ, more about us walking with Jesus, more about the development and maturity of our soul than our physical circumstances. And just, you know, I'm thinking here in my own life, still my prayer for myself and other people still is far more for my physical circumstances. I mean, help us, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health. So he wants them to have blessed physical circumstances. I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Really having good health, having good finances, having good relationships, having good physical circumstances in this life really, really matters very little if our soul is not getting along well in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Again, I mean, this is why we do this. This is why we do these teachings. This is why we have the ministry that we do, is so that your soul may be getting along well, that you would be growing to know Jesus, growing to love him, growing to obey him, again, growing to please him in every aspect of your life. And if you'll do that, then you will begin to have a similar heart. Little by little, you'll grow to be more and more like this incredible man of God. This is the Apostle John. He walked with Jesus. He wrote this book some, could be 70 years after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that John wrote this. And look what he says in verse 3. He says, it gave me great joy. What gives you great joy? The vast majority of us have joy or have happiness from our own personal circumstances. What gives you great joy? Is it when you succeed at a hobby of yours? Perhaps you play a sport. Maybe you play pickleball and you're doing really well at it, and that gives you great joy. What gives you great joy? He says, it gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth. What should really give us the most joy is our growth in Jesus Christ. And then the more we grow, the more joy we should have from seeing others grow in Jesus Christ. Just sincerely being happy and joyful that others are walking with Jesus, that others are living for Jesus, loving for Jesus, giving for Jesus, and forgiving for Jesus. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. When you hear about other Christians, when you hear about other Christians succeeding, when you hear about other Christians just serving Jesus and living for Jesus, does that give you joy? Regrettably, the vast majority of Christians in the church today take very little joy in their own walk in Jesus, and even less in seeing others succeed in Jesus. This is the pinnacle of spiritual maturity. This is what it means to be a spiritual father or spiritual mother. Any father or mother takes great joy in seeing their natural children succeed. If you're a father or mother today, when your children are doing well, it certainly gives you great joy. And it's a grief to you if your children are not doing well. It ought to be the same as we grow up in Jesus, as we grow to be spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers in Jesus, for our spiritual children. As much as you take great joy, as much as you're happy when you see your natural children doing well, you ought to be the same or even more pleased when you see your spiritual children doing well. And your natural children hopefully are your spiritual children as well. It's they're profound verses. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. Our walk with Jesus is an ongoing lifestyle. It's two steps forward and one step back. We ought to have a daily lifestyle of examining ourselves, of repenting, and continuing to walk in the truth. Every day I see aspects of my life where I need to repent. Every day I can see aspects where, you know, where I need to be more purified in every aspect of my life, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, and relationally. I can see areas where I'm not like Jesus in every aspect of my life. And that ought to be our goal, is to be more and more refined, to be more and more like Jesus in everything. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. Are you moving forward in your walk with Jesus? Are you growing and maturing in your walk with Jesus? And are you helping others to do that? And again, are you excited when you're growing in Jesus? Nothing should give you more excitement, more joy, more energy than seeing that you're growing in Jesus and seeing that others are growing in Jesus. Verse 4, John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I mean, it's just an incredible verse. It's something that I hope to get to. I do experience this at some level, but listen to the words. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. He's gotten to a place in his life where nothing gives him joy like seeing others grow in Jesus and grow to know Jesus and grow to love him and grow to obey him. And again, this ought to be the pattern of our lives. Are you growing to have more and more joy as you grow to walk with Jesus more and more? Are you growing to have more and more joy when you see others walk with Jesus? The goal of our lives is to be an ever-maturing disciple of Jesus Christ and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. That ought to be the purpose of our lives, right? Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I will be with you till the end of the age." It's incredible, right? We're not called to simply be converts. We're not called to just receive Jesus as our Savior and then just go on to live our lives as just worldly Christians, wait till we die and go to heaven. There's a big difference between a convert, someone who's received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and a disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple of Jesus is an apprentice of Jesus, someone who's growing to be like Jesus, someone who's growing to have every aspect of their lives, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, and relationally, emulate Jesus. Are you a convert or are you a disciple? Now, you have to be a convert before you can be a disciple. You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before you can be his apprentice. So when you examine your life, are you currently trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you received him into your heart? Are you trusting and relying on Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins, the salvation of your soul, deliverance from eternal hell, and to bring you to heaven when you die? That's the first step, right? John 1 verse 12, "Yet to all who received him," Jesus, "to those who believed in his name," Jesus, "he gave the right to become children of God." Now, once you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the goal of your life should be to be a growing disciple of Jesus, a disciplined follower of Jesus, someone who's growing to be more and more like Jesus in every aspect of your life. And when you read 3 John, you can just see this. You see a picture of what a growing disciple of Jesus looks like. You see a man who prays that other people are growing to be more like Jesus. "Dear friend," verse 2, "I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." When you think of his thought process, you can see that his concern for Gaius is, of course, he wants him to be healthy. Of course, he wants him to be in, you know, to have good physical circumstances. But his greatest concern is that his soul is getting along well, that he's doing well in his walk with Jesus. Again, verse 3, "It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth." I mean, it really is exciting. You ought to read these verses over and over and over again. Just go to 3 John chapter 1 and read verses 1 to 4. Read them and reread them and begin to pray through them. 3 John 1, "The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." So again, when you read that, when you listen to me read it, it just that you're putting the word of God in you. You want to be reading the scriptures and rereading it and rereading it. Just filling your soul more and more with the word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then like John, you want to pray. You want to pray for yourself, certainly, and your soul and your walk with Jesus, and pray for others in their walk with Christ. Just speaking about it now, I'm convicted that I need to pray more for my own soul and pray for the souls of others. We have a prayer list, my wife and I, and I pray on my knees at least twice a day. And that's something I've encouraged y'all to do over and over and over and over. Get down on your knees at least once a day. It doesn't have to be for 15 minutes. It can be for a minute. And humble yourself before Jesus. Posture yourself in a place of submission before Jesus and pray on your knees before him. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health. I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. So again, put the word of God in you, but also begin to pray more and more. Again, it'd be better to pray 10 times a day for a minute than once a day for 10 minutes. And just invite Jesus. Pray to your heavenly Father. You've heard me say this before. Pray to Jesus Christ, our Lord, and pray to the Holy Spirit. Praise your heavenly Father. Praise and thank Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise and thank the Holy Spirit. Again, you can pray to each person of our triune God. Don't pray to any human beings. Don't pray to any spirits or angels or certainly demons. Don't pray to anyone alive or dead. Your prayer and praise and thanksgiving ought to be to our heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit. As you do this, as you simply grow to put the word of God in you, as you labor to put the scriptures in you, and as you pray more and more, you will become more and more like John. And again, this ought to be the goal of our lives. Now, we ought to be able to examine ourselves and say, you know what? No, this is not like me. My greatest joy, regrettably, doesn't come from seeing others walk with Jesus. Again, you probably, if you have children or family members, it does probably give you great joy to see them, your children succeeding, you know, physically, to see them doing well in this life. But really, what's far more important than that is that they're doing well in their walk with Jesus. So thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to close here, but, you know, again, read 3 John, right? Read verses 1-4, read it and reread it, and begin to pray like he does that your soul would grow and mature in Jesus Christ, our Lord, that you would become more and more like Jesus. Ask Jesus to help you in every aspect of your life. When you see an area of your life that's out of place, pray that the Lord would help you. And when you see areas in other people's lives that are out of place, begin to pray and ask Jesus to help them. 3 John 1, the elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth. Father, I do ask you to help us to be more and more faithful to the truth, more and more faithful to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you said that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. Father, I do pray that all of us, Lord, would be in good health. I pray for blessed physical circumstances, but even more, Father, I pray that our soul would be growing to know Jesus, growing to love him, growing to walk with him more and more, growing to obey him, growing to please him, and growing to repent for the areas of our life where we're not walking with Jesus and being like Jesus. Father, we thank you that we have this Bible. We thank you that we have the living word of God to nourish us and feed us. We thank you that you've given us prayer, Father, that we can pray to you, that we can praise you, that we can thank you, and we can worship you. But Father, as always, we thank you above all for Jesus. Lord Jesus, again, we thank you for willingly entering this world for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we can never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on the cross that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen. We worship you, our risen Savior. Holy Spirit, we thank you and we praise you. We ask you to seal this message to our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.